The Future Lifestyle Pro Podcast. Do you remember when you were a kid and were there things that you used to do as a kid? What? You don't really see kids doing too much these days. You know, like, there were certain things that you and your mates used to do, or you were allowed to do as a kid, that you don't typically see kids doing these days, or you don't let your kids do. So, do you know what I mean? Like, for example, we always know where our kids are at any given moment these days, don't we? Until they get to maybe 12, 13 or older. I don't know how old, but I don't even know what the consensus is these days. But when I was a kid, I remember just being out for hours and hours and hours upon end. My parents had no idea where I was, but I was safe because I was with my crew and we were learning how to look after ourselves. Can you remember? Were that you too, or was that just me running around feral on a council estate? But anyway, I've got a theory, right? And this sort of snowflakey council culture stuff that you see, it's always online. It's always hidden in the shadows. Like, if it's a corporate thing, if it's a work thing, there's no individual people who are ever real snowflakes or never the ones who want to do the counselling. It's always like a sort of hidden in the shadows collective movement that ends up getting their way somehow, and it's really irritating. I've kind of experienced it a little bit recently, so I thought I'd talk about it. One of the problems we have is online life. When we came home and the streetlights came on, yeah. Johnny Morris, yeah. That used to be the time, didn't it, when streetlights came on. I remember once it were a Tuesday night, and I must have been about 13, and I were walking around the streets at midnight. My parents would probably kill me if they heard me say that, but, you know, this is just how it used to be. Oh, it did for me. But the thing about nowadays is, because online life is marginalised, people feel marginalised intentionally. The whole point is, because we're using services online for free, social media services are free, so if it's free, you're the product, right? We're getting advertised. If you're using a free service, typically you're getting advertised at. You're almost like a guinea pig and you don't even know it. So you're getting advertised at all the time, and the point of advertising and marketing is to make you feel like you need something. So in order to make you feel like you need something, you've got to feel, they've got to make you feel inferior somehow, right? That's just a typical way of how advertising works. Well, if you're always online, most people are always online these days, we're marginalised in everything that we look at. You turn on the news, they do whatever they can to marginalise you. It's all this big divide and conquer thing. And you know, it's always been like that, but now it's amped up and at scale because it's all online. But we still want to matter. People want to matter. We still want to feel like we've got a voice. You know, not everyone is suited to sitting online. Not everyone is a creative person and not everyone likes to be in front of a camera or draw attention to themselves online. So people who are more suited to doing that typically might end up with have been a bit more popular on social media. So, you know, but there's a lot of good quality people who are no good at social media, you know, for example. But everyone wants to matter. And online gives you a voice, whether you're good at it or not, whether you've got a good opinion or a bad opinion. Online will amplify your voice. I did a post about the Elvis film the other day, and you know, it was just basically talking about how much I love it. I love the Elvis film. I thought it was amazing. It ticks every box for me. Arty farty, interesting. I love Elvis. Good acting, good production, blah de blah de blah. And somebody said, you know that Elvis were a pedo, right? Or something like that. Now, I know this person, they wasn't being a dick, but that just kind of, to me, were like a microcosm of how things are. the person was trying to contribute to the conversation, but it got me thinking, if Elvis was around now, would he have been cancelled? Would Elvis have been outed and cancelled before he even got a chance to be as big a guy as what he became? Same with Sinatra. You know, Sinatra was involved in gangster shit. He was, I mean, he did some dodgy stuff, and I'm sure he probably had his way with plenty of women. He was probably, I don't know, did whatever he wanted with whichever girl he felt like doing it with. Frank Sinatra, would he have been cancelled now, do you think? What about Freddie Mercury? Having small boys delivered to him on a platter. I mean, to be fair, if I were a screaming homosexual, I mean, having someone delivered to me on a platter sounds like exactly how I'd want them delivered to me, to be fair, but I'm not, so, you know, I don't think my wife's going to be right happy about it if I try and get her delivered to me on a platter. I know what she'd have to say about that. But would he be cancelled, Freddie Mercury? Can you imagine if he got cancelled? Can you imagine? But if he was around now, would he have been cancelled? Would it have just have been too much for people? There's a band that I absolutely love called Arcade Fire. I've got some lyrics from one of their songs tattooed on me here. And the singer Win Butler, he's currently facing allegations of sexual assault. Basically, he's abused his position as a rock star, and he slept with a few girls, groupies. It was all consensual. His wife knows all about it. She's done a statement, you know. I don't know how these rock stars live their lives. They obviously live on another planet to what we do. But it's they're married. His wife and him are both in the band together. They're married, and they're trying to work through this problem. But the sort of the loud cancel culture of Twitter has now got a hold of it, and they're really trying to churn it up into this big thing. Now, I'm not diminishing how bad sexual assault is, right? I'm not at all. But most of the people who are crying for him to be cancelled, I would be hazard a guess that they've not been sexual assaulted. Not all of them, right? I'd say less than half of them have. But it's this thing about being offended on other people's behalf. It just pisses me off, man. It grips my shit. And the cancel culture, it's growing. It's like a cancer, and it's really starting to get into things that it don't need to be into. Most people don't even want the full context. The full context is he knows it, him and his wife know about it. They're working through it. The girls are, there's the allegations that are getting looked into at the moment. He's not guilty. They've basically shared everything. Everyone knows about it. It's all in the open. But people don't want to know the full context. They just want a voice. They just want to matter in this moment. They just want to have some power, because they've never had any power before. Because when you live online, you're just a tiny marginalized nobody, or you're led to believe that you're nobody. You know, just desperate to be right, desperate to matter. That's what, you know, that's how it feels for people, and that's what they're gonna do no matter what. They haven't spent enough time, these people, in constructive disagreement. Too much time isolated and not enough time in constructive disagreement will make you into a resentful, bitter little person. It will. You have to be around groups of people and get disagreed with and learn who you are in a society. I mean, are Arcade Fire and is Win Butler the singer, is he allowed to repent for what he's done? Is he even allowed? Are we allowed to do that, or is it just a case of guilty, finished? Next, we don't want you anymore. You know, are people allowed to have problems and come through them? You know, am I allowed to like Arcade Fire? Because if I like them, if I don't want them cancelled, does that mean that I condone people being sexually assaulted? The culture follows the loud minority. You know, most people aren't vegan, but vegans bash the. Bash make so much noise that there's always vegan options everywhere we go now, even though I'd say less than 1% of people are vegan. You know, it's always been the same. The loud majority, the people who are easily offended or reckon to be easily offended, the culture goes in that direction, because most people are just agreeable. The agreeable majority just think, fucking, just let them have their way, man. I can't be arsed with this. So we just allow it. And that's where culture typically goes. And it's like it kind of links up with, it's part of it is the rage porn that you get online as well. I've been a victim of this recently. So as a Man United fan, I've been really addicted to watching updates about United. And because it's been bad news for months, and then it's recently just turned around, I've been all over the Twitter updates, YouTube videos. I've been addicted to it because the rage and the negativity's got in my brain, and I need to know. I need to know the next thing. I need to know what's going to happen. I need to know. Now it's turned around, I'm not as interested anymore. I'm not as interested. Rage porn's a business model, and they fucking know exactly what they're doing. They put it in front of his eyes, and the makers want to get angry, so we keep our eyeballs on the screen, and then they get ad revenue. That's how it works. But my theory is that these snowflakes who create this culture and the you know, the cancel culture and all that, it's born from giving prizes to people for just taking part. It's born from cutting grapes up for our kids because we don't want them to bite the grape. We don't want them to choke on the grapes. It's born from not letting our kids have a lollipop just in case they choke to death. That's where the snowflakes are born. When we're trying to protect them from everything. Not letting them go to the park to fall out of a tree. Not let them go get a chase off the local farmer. You know, all this stuff that we used to do when we were kids that we would never let our kids do now. All of that feeds into it. Tell me if I'm wrong. You tell me if I'm wrong. Because if we don't do those things, if we try and protect our kids too much, they can't handle the emotional turmoil of life when it actually hits. The brains end up undeveloped to it all, and it's so painful that they just end up this angry and resentful person online. You know, they've not worked out who they are in society. Society, who you are is a mutual agreement. Who someone is a mutual agreement, and you only get that through being in groups with other people. You might think that you're the king of the world. You might think that you're Michael Jackson reborn, but go out there and start dancing around like Michael Jackson in the street, and someone else will tell you, no, mate, you're not Michael Jackson reborn. Get back in your house, you shit dancing. You know, it's who you are is a mutual agreement. But we're overprotective of our kids. Did you know that your kids are 3 times more likely to be struck by lightning than they are to be kidnapped? And problem is with the way things are, it's like it's becoming a social norm to overprotect our kids. Nobody wants to be that person to let the kids go out on a free rein. Nobody wants to be that person, because what about all the other mums? What will they think of me? I think it's time to just be a little bit more braver. If adults have got anxiety now, what are adults going to be like in 20 years? The kids that we're bringing up, insulating and isolating like this, what are they going to be like if they've got anxiety now? It's gonna be a shitstorm, and it's up to us to fix it. Humans have hacked most of our evolved attributes. You know, we've hacked so many things, so many of our intuitiveness as what we are as a human, we've hacked it all. But we need to raise our awareness and do some introspection and just understand that some things just need holding on to, and kids need to be allowed to grow. They need to be allowed to fall out of a tree. They need to be allowed to swear at someone and then get chased and then get a slap. They need to be allowed to do that because that's how they're learning who they are. But as adults, we need to be brave. Look, nobody wants to kidnap your ugly kid. Nobody wants to kidnap your ugly kid. If your kids are female and blonde, and she's below 6, maybe. Other than that, I won't worry. No one wants to kidnap your ugly kid. So be brave. And let's do it together. Let's try and make our kids less of a bunch of snowflakes as what our current generation coming through are. I love you. I'll see you later on. Bye. The future lifestyle program.
Wealth, deepness, education, elevation.